हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 102, chapter 24, The Philosophy of Shankhya, Shlokanu Sharanam. Verses 1 to 29, The Science of Shankhya. Lord Sri Krishna said, Now I shall describe to you the science of Shankhya, which has been perfectly established by ancient authorities. By understanding this science, a person can immediately give up the illusion of material duality. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, It was understood from the song of the Yavanti Brahmana that the cause of suffering was the self-identity in the subtle body predominated by the mind. That false identity disappears when one distinguishes the Atma from the body. This is rooted in Shankhya. Right? Because the body made the elements and it can understand through that analysis that we're not the body. Right? If you haven't figured it out already, then by that analysis you can do it. Therefore, the Lord teaches Shankhya. By Shankhya, one can give up the illusion of identity with the body, right? Because the whole process, we're saying we're suffering. So he was asking, you know, all these different aspects that we would attribute our suffering to, right? To our karma, to the planets.
Yes.
What else was there?
Demigods.
Time. Demigods.
Own body.
Own body, other living entities, you know, just everything. But the point is, it's none of that. They may be ones that are arranging situations that you're in, but it's your identifying with the body that therefore makes you enjoy and suffer. You give up that false identity, you don't enjoy and suffer. So, yeah. Sri Krishna continued, right? So you see the approach is very different. When we take up the process, we generally think, well, the situation will change.
Yes.
You know, we do auspicious things, the demigods will be pleased, all the planets are in order, everything will work out nicely. But the point is you enjoy and suffer because of the identity.
Yes.
Right? Hmm. Oh, there is one. No. That's why we suffer. Not because of the things themselves, but because we take it that this external situation, that will be nice. And this external situation won't be nice. Right? So, therefore, if it's not nice, I'm suffering. So whatever is the seeming cause of that not nice situation, that's the cause of my distress. But no, it's because of our attachment that there's a problem. And why is the attachment there? Attachment follows your identity. So when the false ego, like that, is connected with the material arrangements, that means those material arrangements, the senses and all the sense objects, all that interaction is all controlled by the mind. So then if the ego is there, then the material mind, you know, takes up that position. Right? But when we have the spiritual ego, that we're servants of Krishna, then you're not dealing with the material, the mind doesn't act in a material way. You work with the spiritual mind. No. Sri Krishna continued, Originally, during the Krita Yuga, when all men were very expert in spiritual discrimination, and also previous to that, during the period of annihilation, the seer existed alone, non-different from the seen object. That one absolute remaining free from material dualities and inaccessible to ordinary speech and mind, divided himself into two categories, the material nature, Prakriti, and the living entities, Jiva, who are trying to enjoy the manifestations of nature. Footnote 31. Kriti, this is the original Shankhya. The atheistic version of Shankya does not admit the existence of the absolute truth, God, right? So this is the this is Shankya, and then atheists take it, you know, because it's logical, it makes a lot of sense, it's helpful. And so then they'll take it and try to use it for themselves. You know, just like yoga, we see, is, you know, it's a helpful process for self-realization. But now then, you know, in the contemporary society, they take in yoga very happily, but for complete, total materialism, not for any self-realization at all. Right? Because the only idea of being peaceful is so that they can enjoy better. Right? If your mind's not peaceful, you can't enjoy. Right? Does that make sense? You can't function. Remember, they say, someone's telling me that they were in Bhutan. And in Bhutan, the national sport is archery. So they're exceptionally good at archery, because that's what they do. That's their sport. Like other places, it's cricket or, you know, football or something. For them, it's archery. Right? So then and they have a target that's sort of like a ridiculous distance away. They don't shoot short stuff. You know, they don't have all these, you know, all these weights and things like you see in the Olympics. They just take the bow, pull it, and shoot. But while it's going on, it's not against the rules to talk while the guy's shooting. So then, you know, he's there taking his aim, trying to get his focus, and then some other guy who's like already shot the best shot, and now this guy has his opportunity. If he makes it, then he wins, and if not, then the other guy. So he walks up to whisper something in his ear, and the guy completely falls apart. Right? He can't function at all. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that the mind, that's going to be, so if the mind's peaceful, then you can focus, get things done, and if the mind's not peaceful, then you can't accomplish anything. So then it's all for materialism that they are interested in the peaceful mind aspect of the yoga process. Does that make sense? You know, the health, the this, the that, the camaraderie, you know, whatever is there. Does that make sense? You know, they like the sounds of little gongs, you know, like that. And, yeah.
Krishna concludes the fifth chapter with the peace formula. Okay. Not the controller, enjoyer, and proprietor.
Yes.
He starts with the Dhyana Yoga.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So when you have, yeah, good, good. So when there's peace, then you can meditate. Okay. You heard? He was saying that he ends the fifth chapter in Gita with the peace formula. Then he starts the sixth chapter on meditation. Yeah.
Okay. But his peace formula is different from our peace formula.
Who, Krishna's?
Yes, because to recognize Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, beneficiary, usually we don't do.
We don't take that as peace.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But we see it does work, you know, because that was the story before with Pingala.
Yes.
Because the mind's agitated, and then when she understands this, then she becomes very peaceful.
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, that one entity, the great Brahman, became two in form. Maya, his external energy, and the Jiva, Tathastha Shakti, the enjoyer of matter. These are described. Brahman is without difference, since the other two are his energies. Right? So, it's not that Brahman becomes two, Brahman expands and there's two. Right? So with him there's three, so that's Chitta Chidishwar. But it's all him. They are beyond words and mind, since Prakriti is unmanifest and the Jiva is very small. Now we have a problem here. In our, how you say, Shrotavadi over here. It says, they are beyond words and mind.
Desire self. Desire self.
Yes, so then, now what? They are both called Satyam because they are both real. Sri Krishna continued, of these two categories of manifestation, one is material nature, which embodies both the subtle causes and manifest products of matter. Yeah. The other is the conscious living entity, designated as the enjoyer. Right? Wow. Nice to know, we're the designated enjoyer, right? You know, so we've got a position. Right? When material nature was agitated by my glance, The three material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, became manifest to fulfill the pending desires of the conditioned souls. Right? So goodness, passion, ignorance are there. Then that applied within identity, right? Because they're identifying separate from Krishna. So they have to have an identity. But that identity can't be a real identity. It has to be a false identity. Therefore, false ego, according to these modes, then that becomes their position. Does that make sense? And that's then what drives them to do what they do. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The gunas arose from Prakriti, agitated by my form as Mahavishnu, with the permission of the jivas." The jivas think, "Let us have the process of karma, jnana, and bhakti. The creation arranges for the jiva according to his karmas." Right, so even here Krishna is saying that he takes permission from the jivas. The jivas want. They want karma, jnana, and bhakti. So then for the devotees, then that process, then they can go, you know, come to the transcendental platform. For the others, then they can try to enjoy as the separate enjoyer. The designated enjoyer. Sri Krishna continued, "From these modes arose the primeval sutra, along with the mahatattva. By the transformation of the mahatattva was generated the false ego, the cause of the living entity's bewilderment." Right, so you get the modes of nature, right, and from that comes the primeval sutra, right, that I'm the, you know, that this idea that I can enjoy material nature, and so then from that, then you have to have a false ego to do that, but there's the inherent thing of I'm the controller and enjoyer. That doesn't have to have an outlet, right? But to express it, then there's an outlet. So yes. Now the false ego comes up.
But my advice for someone was that you can say desire not to express it has no meaning.
Well, they'll always want, whether they can or not, if they're in the mode of ignorance or something, then they can't really function and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Otherwise, it's not good to express.
Yeah, they would always express. Now, how their identity is, whether the, you know, that combination of false ego and goodness, passion, and ignorance, may then define how they apply themselves. No?
Yes.
So that's the point, is that they'll apply according to how they define. So let's say someone with a false ego and goodness, they may be more subtle about their desires. Yes. But someone in passion or ignorance, then they may be more forward. Yes. Or they may be in ignorance, they can't even deal at all, they can't even function.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. The BBT purport states, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, sutra is the first transformation of material nature that manifests the potency of activity. And it is accompanied by the Mahatattva. That's why sometimes Mahatattva is called Mahatattva, it's also is called sutra. Which is endowed with the potency of knowledge. In the material world, one's real knowledge is covered by fruit of activity and mental speculation. As one's devotional service to the Lord slackens, these two tendencies grow automatically. Just as the diminishing of light automatically brings an increase in darkness. So we see as then it gives rise to that false ego. So then the sutra is activity, the mahatattva is knowledge, and the false ego. So then you see those three aspects also, the modes. Does that make sense? No? Saying, from these modes arose the primeval sutra, along with the mahatattva. By the transformation of the mahatattva was generated the false ego. So you're getting goodness, passion, and ignorance there in these three features. Right? So sutra itself is the passion, the mahatattva is the goodness, and by that transformation of that passion, then you get the ego, the false ego, the ignorance. So then they're bewildered. Because there has to be a desire for activity and for knowledge, right? Because then you have to take up a false identity to apply it. Because if you take up the identity, I'm servant of Krishna, will we get material creation? No. But if we take up, I'm the controller and enjoyer, and if whatever's the particular way, I'm a demigod, I'm this, I'm that, right?
Yes.
Then you're going to get the material.
Also, in the Bhagavad Maharaj, God told Adam and Eve they couldn't meet the fruit of knowledge.
Yeah, because it's material knowledge. It's not spiritual knowledge. They're already moving with the Lord. Why do they need this other knowledge? But it sounds good, right? You have knowledge and this and that. Sounds great. You know, the same ways that you have all this spiritual understanding, but then some will say, no, you need some material knowledge to make it successful. You know, if it didn't work out for Adam and Eve, it's not going to work out for the rest of us. Yes.
Here this says in the previous chapter, passage, the gunas arose from Prakriti. Then we say from this gunas arose the primeval sutra. It's time to understand the mechanics. Who's going to first? Because we usually say the long Lord glances.
Mm-hmm. That agitates the modes of nature, so they're active. So that then creates this principle of sutra. Because the modes, if their balance is equilibrium, then there's no action. So by them being agitated, then there is you have that as another aspect. If you're looking at the mechanistic parts of the atoms themselves, they can't go together in avyakta like that. Does that make sense? It has to be applied. So that's why Mahatattva has all the opportunities. They're in their subtle form, their primordial form. So it won't be applied until Brahma. But the point is they're there. Right? So all the knowledge, all the different species, all the different situations you can be in, there's the desire for activity, the sutra, and then you have to then place yourself. So you need an ego, so then false ego manifests. It's just a matter of which you're looking at. So, and here, then Krishna's bringing out more this aspect of sutra. Because the potency of activity. Right? So then the potency of activity, to apply it, then you want knowledge. Right? And then within that, then you have to have false ego. Make sense? Yeah, so then it's working.
But it's the secondary creation, or the primary creation.
This is all primary. This is all before Brahma. Because without these things, Brahma can't create something. He's an engineer, he's not a creator, actually. Right? But you'll give him the credit that he's the creator, because he brings forth the secondary manifestation, but it's not that he's the one that makes it all work.
How can we say that it begins in Mahatattva?
Which begins?
The secondary creation starts after Mahatattva.
It starts after. It means when you have the universes, then Garbhadaksha Vishnu enters, and then when he produces Brahma after his meditation, you know, then by the grace of the Lord, then he does the secondary creation. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a bit down the line. So if you, the light goes down, the darkness comes up. The light goes up, the darkness goes down. So as you increase your one's identity with Krishna, then these material things go down. As you don't, you lessen it, it gets more. Sri Krishna continued, false ego, which is the cause of physical sensation, the senses and the mind, encompass both spirit and matter, and manifest in three varieties, in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right, so now you say false ego, then causes physical sensation, right, which you're going to get, so you have the tan matra is that, the senses, and the mind. So that means all these different, all the different elements are all coming from this false ego. Does that make sense? So then from that, then we're saying Aniruddha is false ego, then that's the aspect, because that's where the mind comes from. Because the mind is going to take on three varieties, goodness, passion, ignorance. So depending upon which kind of false ego, that's the kind of mind, how the mind will function. Does that make sense? Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Ahankara, aham, has three functions, sattva, rajas, and tamas, which produce mind, senses, and tanmatras. Right? So then sattva, you get the mind, rajas, you get the senses, tamas, you get the tanmatras. Right? And that's considered the gross form. It means like sound, or touch. Ahankara is spiritual and material. This means that though it is material, it acts as covering on the spiritual jiva and becomes one with the jiva in the form of a knot of matter and spirit. So, yeah.
How Ahankara can be spiritual?
Because then you identify as servant of Krishna.
So this is the real Ahankara.
Yes. Or it's also here is that it's the covering, the material covering on what's spiritual. So spiritual and matter, because it has the effect on that spiritual aspect of the soul, because now they identify with the material. So in other words, by the potency of the tatasta, these two can be together. Otherwise, you can't have material and spiritual together.
Yes.
So that's the tatasta potency.
Yes.
Not us, the potency that we're coming from.
Yes.
But, so.
And this is the polluted consciousness, Ahankara is it?
No, that's something else. That's chitta.
Okay.
Ahankara is that false identity. Chitta is I'm the controller and enjoyer, but then you have to have a specific application of that. So it's already ignorance. So you're already in ignorance before you come to the material world. Then you get your official ignorance. Yes, certified ignorance. Otherwise, it's just a general concept.
It's like somebody is stealing propensity and now he wants to steal a particular item. Somebody is stealing propensity.
Okay, yes.
And then he gets a desire to steal a particular item.
Yes, yes. That's all. That's the whole point. So the one is there before creation. That's why it's called a nadi. And the other is there after creation. Sri Krishna continued. From false ego and the mode of ignorance came the subtle physical perceptions from which the gross elements were generated. Right? So then you get those subtle, and then you get the gross elements. From false ego in the mode of passion came the senses, and false ego in the mode of goodness arose the 11 demigods. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, ether and other elements arose from the tanmatras, which arose from ahankar in tamas. Because their nature causes obscuration, the elements have the quality of tamas. Tanmatrikat means from the cause of the tanmatras, according to Panini 4280. The 10 senses arise from ahankara in rajas because of their nature of action. The senses have the quality of rajas, right? Because they do things. From Mahankar and Sattva arose the devatas and the mind, indicated by cha. Because they have the nature of revealing knowledge, they have the quality of Sattva. Right? So you have the knowledge, it reveals knowledge, that's Sattva, then it creates activity, that's passion, and then the gross covering, then that's the ignorance. So you get the tanmatras, from them you get the gross elements.
Okay. Yeah. Now, is it like a this order is a living entity from the beginning? When the living entity wants to become a god, means it is from...
It goes through this order, yeah.
From this order.
That's why is this order given? Because now you can reverse it. Does that make sense? Because of the engagements with the gross matter and identifying with that, that'll be the worst. When you give that up, then we go to the subtle, of the mind and the senses and all that. When you go behind that, then you go back to just that point of that false ego, that we have this identity. Then behind that, then there's I'm the idea, I'm the controller and enjoyer. And then you go behind that, then there's I'm the soul servant of Krishna.
Yes.
Is that? BBT purport states, from false ego in the mode of ignorance, sound is generated along with the sense of hearing to receive it in the sky as its medium. Again, our Shabdabadi. Because it means it wasn't there before. Only then from the mode of ignorance did you even get it. So that means there wasn't anything. So then what was there between when the sound vibration in the spiritual world and then this one, what happened in between? No?
Okay.
Okay, false ego in the mode of ignorance, sound is generated along with the sense of hearing to receive it, and the sky as its medium. Okay. Sound is generated along with the sense of hearing, and then you have sky as the medium, and then the ear will hear it, right? Next, the sensation of touch, air, and the sense of touch are generated. And thus, from subtle to gross, all the elements and their perceptions are generated, right? And then from the touch you get the skin, or you get the air, you know, like this. Does that make sense? Yeah. The senses, because they are busily engaged in activity, are created from false ego and the mode of passion. From false ego and goodness come 11 demigods, the deities of the direction, the wind, and the sun. Okay. The deities of the directions, okay. The wind, the sun, Varuna, the Ashwini deities, Agni, Indra, Upendra, Mitra, Brahma, and Chandra. So these are the 11 deities. Mm-hmm. Sri Krishna continued.
Those are the main ones just listed?
Main, but at least in this connection with us. It's probably like the directions of the ears, you know, the wind will be one thing, the sun will be the sight, the water will be the taste.
Can we say that when we say primeval creation, all the prototype demigods are there?
Yes,
we say the main ones usually, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that you have to have 33 million there in the primary creation. So at least you would expect these ones would be there. Right. So whatever the demigods say about the Ashwinis, they were there before. Right? Sri Krishna continued.
When we came to the material world, we took that body of Deva. We are like demigod.
The first is Brahma. Brahma, sorry, because he's the most pious. So if you haven't done anything materially wrong, you're the most pious in the universe. So just by default, you're Brahma. Yeah. And then from Brahma, then you can go down more or less quickly as you please.
So everybody has been a Brahma.
Everybody's started as Brahma, and then you know it's considered that when one takes up or inquires about devotional service, one has already been through all 8,400,000 species.
Yes.
And that doesn't—I mean, that just means you've been through. They're not saying you've been through once.
Yes.
Just you've been through. You've spent your time in all of them. Right.
Looking at the positive side.
Sorry.
Looking at the positive side.
Yes. Yeah. So then one has tried the variety of material opportunities that are there in the material world and not found them to be, you know, as suitable as you would have expected. So then you inquire, why is this? Right? Sri Krishna continued. Impelled by me, all these elements combined to function in an orderly fashion. And together gave birth to the universal egg. Right, so this is all in that primary thing, which is my excellent place of residence. I myself appeared within that egg, which was floating on the causal ocean. And from my navel arose the universal lotus, the birthplace of self-born Brahma. Lord Brahma, the soul of the universe, being endowed with the mode of passion, performed great austerities by my mercy. And thus created the three planetary systems, called Bhur, Bhuvar, and Swa, along with their presiding deities. Heaven was established as the residence of the demigods, Bhuvar as that of the ghostly spirits, and earthly system as the place of human beings and other mortal creatures. Those mystics who strive for liberation are promoted beyond these three divisions. Lord Brahma created the region below the earth, for the demons and the Naga snakes. In this way, the designations of the three worlds were arranged as the corresponding reactions for different kinds of work performed within the three modes of nature. By mystic yoga, great austerities, and the renounced order of life, the pure destinations of Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka are attained. But by devotional service, one achieves my transcendental abode. All results of fruitive work have been arranged within this world by me, the Supreme Creator acting as the force of time. Thus one sometimes rises up towards the surface of this mighty river of the modes of nature and sometimes again submerges. Whatever features visibly exist within this world, small or great, thin or stout, certainly contain both the material nature and its enjoyer, the spirit soul. Right? So, yes, what is it? So all creations, great and small, they all have the material nature and its enjoyer, the spirit soul. No?
Yeah. Sounds like a song.
Huh?
Sounds like a song.
Yeah, no, it's based on something. It's just one of those ones where it hasn't quite come to it's still in the first three elements of sound, so it's just there, but you can feel it there. Footnote 32. O chief of the Bharatas, know that whatever you see in existence, both the moving and non-moving, is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. Bhagavad Gita 13:27. So the field is the material energy, and the knower of the field is the living entity. And it also is the Lord, because he's the knower of all the fields. Srila
yes.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, the cause pervades the effects. The bodies arising as effects or products, bhavaha, are all endowed with prakriti and jiva. Because right? Otherwise, if the jiva is not there, how does it, you know? Sri Krishna continued, gold and earth are originally existing as ingredients. From gold, one may fashion golden ornaments, such as bracelets and earrings. And from earth, one may fashion clay pots and saucers. The original ingredients, gold and earth, exist before the products made from them. And when the products are eventually destroyed, the original ingredients, gold and earth, will remain. Thus, since the ingredients are present in the beginning and at the end, they must also be present in the middle phase, taking the form of a particular product to which we assign for convenience a particular name, such as bracelet, earring, pot, or saucer. Right? So in the beginning you have the earth, then you have a pot, and then you have an earth still remains. Right? When the pot's not there, the earth is still there. So that's the point. So in between, you have that effect.
Yes.
Right. Previously, there existed the unmodified cause. Later, by change, an effect arose. Right. So you have earth, it's unmodified. Then when you have transformation, then the pot arises. Right. The effect is not different from the cause. Right. So the pot's not different from the clay. Though it seems that the effect is there, therefore false, and the falsity reflects on the cause, both the effect and the cause are actually real. Because it is real, the transformation, the effect, is an object that can be used. This is a real object. Golden earrings and necklaces are arising as effects of gold. And dishes arising as effects of earth element, are real and used in daily life. Sri Krishna continued. A material object, self-composed of an eternal essential ingredient, creates another material object through transformation. Thus, one created object becomes the cause and basis of another created object. Right? But in all this, the origin and the creation both remain. And at the end, then the original remain. Right? In the interim, both in the beginning, only the original is there. In the interim, then both the cause and effect is there. And at the end, only the cause will be there. Right? Does that make sense? So that principle is always applied. So Krishna is there, then the effect will be the material energy. So he's the cause. Then within the material energy, there'll be the subtler causes of the more gross causes. I mean, causes of the gross effects. Those grosser effects then become the cause for, you know, even further. Does that make sense? It just keeps going. So, therefore, when you say he is the cause, means he's the ultimate cause.
And this is Maharaj, why he is pervading.
All pervading,
because
yes.
Because he's the cause.
Yes. Yes. A particular thing may thus be called real in that it possesses the basic nature of another object that constitutes its origin and final state. The material universe may be considered real, having nature as its original ingredient and final state. Lord Mahavishnu is the resting place of nature, which becomes manifest by the power of time. Thus nature, the Almighty Vishnu, and time are not different from me, the absolute truth. Right? So all of them are real. Right? Because they're all non-different from Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. How is the Supreme Lord the highest cause? Prakriti is famous as the material cause of the effect. The universe. The Purusha, Supreme Lord, is the Adhishtana Karana, the foundational cause, according to some. Time is the indirect cause. Agitating the gunas, I, as Brahman, am all of these three, since Prakriti is my Shakti. The Purusha is my Amsa, and time is my form of action. Right, so it's, yeah. Thus, because Prakriti is the material cause, I am the material of the universe. But though matter undergoes change, I do not. Though Prakriti is my Shakti, it is not my Sarup Shakti, but my external energy. Because right? The internal, that transformation there, that affects him. But the external potency transformation there doesn't create any interest.
When you say material cause, it means, when you say about Prakriti, the material cause, it says here.
Yes.
So it means that it supplies all the ingredients.
Yes. Means the ingredients are there. It's just that when the Lord's glance, then they all separate, where you can see them. Otherwise, because of the modes of nature.
Can we say that she is the material cause because she contains the modes of nature?
Yes, but the point is she comes from Krishna. So that's why to say that Prakriti is the ultimate cause, that's wrong. To say she's the cause, yes, you can do that. But then taking that, then so many philosophies try to make it sound like she's the origin.
They make her independent.
They make her independent when she's not.
But can we say that in the same sense, she can be also the ingredient cause?
Yes, she's the ingredient cause, but at the same time, ultimately Krishna is all that.
Yes.
So it just depends upon which aspect you want to bring out in the discussion, then who you will identify in that particular way. Like that. That's why you see when it starts to change, you know, the discussion, then what ingredients or what context they're given in is there. So now what will happen is philosophies will take this one out of context. You know what I'm saying? And so then it doesn't work. So like we were saying before, it means that you want to be able to see things in the context that the acharyas give for that situation. Because you'll see in one situation they'll call the same thing with one name. In another situation they give it a different title. Because its function is different. Does that make sense? So when we're taking Aniruddha as false ego, then the function is different than if we're taking him as mind. Right? But ultimately they're connected because the mind, as we say, is manifest from the false ego in the mode of goodness.
Something seems to be missing in your statement here. Right? Because Prakriti is the material cause, I am the material of the nature. Is material cause, he is Prakriti? material should be material cause. I am the material, the universe, what it is.
Or the what we just read.
Yeah. Two sentences before. Yeah.
It does say material cause.
It just says material of the universe.
It says, because Prakriti is the material cause, I am the material of the universe. What's I don't understand
it
what
you're... It says it twice.
It should be material cause.
It says it twice. Prakriti is famous as the material cause. First sentence. I mean, the second.
No, but, I mean, what does it matter whether it says cause or not? Because Krishna said he's all three. You know, some will say he's the Adhishthana, the Karana, the foundational cause, according to some. But he's also everything. So some just say he's only the foundation, but he's also everything else, because it's all him. There can't be anything else other than Brahman. Right? So whether he's the material of the universe or the material cause of the universe, it doesn't really matter. Because everything that you see is Krishna. At the same time, he's the cause of it. So we're not really worried either way. So, yeah?
Because you mentioned Vedanta Sutra, that he's the nimitta and he's also the upadana. So he's the original cause as well as the ingredient of the Krishna.
And he's also the ingredient, yeah. So he's also ingredient. Got a problem? But though matter undergoes change, I do not. Though Prakriti is my Shakti, it is not my Sroop Shakti, but my external energy. I am famous in scriptures as being beyond Maya in my Sroop. Footnote 33. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my internal energy, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Sri Krishna continued. As long as the Supreme Lord continues to glance upon Prakriti, the vast material world continues to exist during the period of maintenance. Perpetually manifesting through continuous generations for the jiva's enjoyment in various bodies. Right? As long as he continues to glance, so I think he's glancing for such a long time. You have to remember his breathing out and breathing back in, the whole thing happens in, for him, 3/4 of a second. Like that. So, that's not a long time. The visible universe composed of various species and their subdivisions along with various worlds, pervaded by me as time, then becomes suitable for destruction. At the time of annihilation, the mortal body of the living being becomes merged into food. Right. So food is the cause, right?
It's a resting place.
His resting place is food.
Merges.
Food merges into grains, and the grains merge back into the earth. The earth merges into its tanmatra fragrance. Fragrance merges into water, and water further merges into its own tanmatra taste. That taste merges into fire, which merges into form. Form merges into air, and air merges into touch. Touch merges into ether. Ether finally merges into sound. The senses all merge into ahankara and rajas. O gentle Uddhava, this merges into the controlling mind, which itself merges into ahankara in the mode of goodness. Sam becomes one with false ego in the mode of ignorance. And the all-pervading false ego, the first of all the physical elements, merges into mahatattva. The mahatattva possessing qualities dissolves into the gunas. These gunas then merge into the unmanifest Prakriti in due time. Time merges into jiva, covered by maya. The jiva, embraced by me, Paramatma, the unborn, who remains alone without covering, from whom creation and annihilation are manifested. Well, the jiva is embraced by me.
So, This is for the ordinary jivas. This process goes on, or for the liberated jiva.
Why would the liber? Why means? Why would you describe this for the liberated jiva?
Because the subtle body has to be annihilated completely, and then he.
Okay, but then. But I'm saying, what's the point? Means if you're already on the liberated platform, you need to contemplate this?
Not, no.
So then, would it not be, then you're talking about the conditioned soul?
Yes.
Liberated, the bodies of liberated souls may go through this itself, yes, but that's not the important point. The important point is for us.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we need to see the context of its application. The context of the application is us giving up that material identity, and then it merges back. So in other words, if you're always absorbed in the body, you're on the lowest level. But if you find you give up absorption in the body and start absorbing yourself in food, then you're moving up.
Yes. And why food? I'm not absorbing in the food. I'm merging in the food.
But where does the body come from?
From the body.
From food. Huh? Well, it depends. Yeah. Huh?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so you go back into food. And then food goes into grains goes into earth, and then you start that process there. Because you get down to earth, they're all there, but then how does that? Then that becomes grains become food becomes us. You know, our body.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because that's what it's also describing, that cycle of how the samsara works. You know, the person does takes the grains, offers it in the fire. Through that, they elevate to the heavenly planets. Then after that, then they come back born as grains. Grains are then produced food. Food is eaten, becomes the body, so that becomes the semen, so that becomes then the next living entity. And then they start the process again. So if you want to count all those in there, that's why then these are used, because it connects the whole process. Because then from this, then you have to get down to that whole cycle, so you bring it back.
Yes.
So you're trying to unwind the whole thing.
Yes.
Right? Not just the part that's, you know, wrapped around your ankle.
Okay. And someone asked where exactly the soul enters. It means the grains? The grain part?
Means you want to know which part of the grain.
No. The grain.
So in other words, if the soul enters into the what do you call it? That the outer covering of the grain, then that's a very strong point for using atta, not maita, right? Because then, you know, so like that. So.
I think those people didn't stretch it that far.
No, yeah, so it's just... And we are glad. We have to have a particular position in the grain, exactly where they are or something.
No,
you know, grain's pretty big compared to 1/10,000
of the
hair.
When the soul enters, at what...
After they fall out of the heavenly planets. Then they drop as rain, and then rain goes into the ground, and that goes into the plant sucks up that, and then it makes the grain, and then you're in the grain, and then that's eaten by somebody like that. Yeah.
Is it better to come in a rice grain than a wheat grain?
Well, rice grain or wheat grain depends upon where you want to. You know, if you see yourself with a turban on your head and a big beard, then, you know, go for the wheat. It's just a matter of fun.
Maharaj, this is the same teaching that Lord Kapila did.
Yes. Yeah, it's all the same. Gita is the same information. It's just different points will be brought out because of the particular audience.
Yes.
Like that. So of them, then the Bhagavad Gita, then that you would say is the ABCs, because it gives all the fundaments and enough detail. But you'll see in the Kapila Gita and the Uddhava Gita, then more detail is given. But the basic fundaments are only referred to. You don't have to explain them. Like you see, is that the topic where it's being discussed here is at a more technically developed stage. Well, the Gita can be developed with somebody who has no knowledge at all. That's the advantage. That's why it's always first. Then it moves through this. So you can see the Kapila Gita has already explained this, but on this particular technical level of how the soul frees himself from the false ego that I'm the enjoyer. That one has all been mentioned all the way through, but now you see the emphasis is on that aspect. So,
Mahārāj, so you only mentioned that the jīva embraces the Paramātmā. So the jīva...
No, embraced by Paramātmā.
Yeah, so the jīva is without the sthūla and the linga sharīra, but the kāraṇa sharīra is still there with the jīva at this point.
And you're worried about what kind of body he's got? Or?
No.
So I mean, I'm not sure what the question is here.
The jīva is having the kāraṇa sharīra along with him when Paramātmā embraces at this annihilation time.
I still don't understand what's the...
You have the sthula sharira, the linga sharira, and the karma sharira. So when it mentions over here that the jiva is embraced by me, Paramatma.
No, but why would you use this embraced by me to bring that one up?
Because
this just means that the soul then goes back to the Lord. That's all the farther we're taking it. But now if you want to look at it, yes. The gross body then merged into the subtle body, which merged into then all you're left with is karna sharir. But to use the word embraced and then get karna sharir, because how can you be embraced unless you have a body? So what body is he in? So he must be in the karna sharir, so the karna sharir must have a form, and then all this and that, and so then that form goes back there, but then the other guy said, no, it's sound is the original thing, and that was what caused the thing because of the desire, but now here we have the karna sharir. So now which is it, the karna sharir or the sound? You know what I'm saying? So, why do that? Did you just disappear when I said all that? He imploded.
He disappeared a long time back.
Huh? Oh, he's hearing sound. Yeah. Yes. We're discussing, and he's hearing sound. Okay. I was just looking over to go. I go, what? That's what I was expecting. Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. Śruti says, from Prakriti arose ether. From ether arose air. From air arose fire, from fire arose water, from water arose earth, from earth arose plants, from plants arose food, from food arose man. So here now we have plants also.
Wow. So we go directly parallel with Vedanta Sutra, is that on purpose?
Yeah, no, it's always the same. And here, notice, because they left certain ones out, then that's where then they get their basis for... They have another, their own philosophy. That's what we're meaning. You have to see it in the context. Otherwise, you take something and make it into its own philosophy. You know? So, we Shabdavad, or we have in here, embraced Vod. Like that. You have to be careful that we don't end up with these, because we overemphasize something in out of context.
We end up with plants.
Hmm?
We end up with plants.
Plants, yes.
Before getting into food.
Yes. No. Which plant? No, that's the other. Yeah. So, Taittiriya Upanishad 2:1. Oh, that's. Oh, Agnir. Okay. I didn't catch the plants and.
Greens. You just mean greens?
So you don't consider anything. So then you follow in like the Bengali boys that we took them to Bombay and all kinds of nice things to eat, but there was no rice. So when you got to Bombay after 3 days, they complained they hadn't eaten for 3 days. And so then when it was actually inquired, there was, and I said, what about, I had all these things, samosas, this, that, so many fruit and stuff like that. Yeah, but I mean, generally, I guess in general, Indians don't count fruit as food, right?
Yeah.
You know, so then when inquired, but so you've eaten all these things, why do you say you've been fasting for 3 days? And they said, because there was no rice. So you come in that line. Okay. Yeah, just wanted to. The destruction is now described in the reverse order to the creation. The body merges into food, which nourishes it. The body merges after 100 years or less. Then the food merges into its seeds, since all food is destructible. Seeds merge in the earth. Earth merges into fragrance, dried by the Samvartic fire and burned by the fire from the mouth of Sankarshan. Earth remains only as fragrance. The senses merge into their origin. Ahankara in Rajas, right? So it means, in other words, it goes back through the whole thing. And all the senses, they go back into where they came from, right? Because they also came out of these tanmatras and that. Ahankara in Rajas, Svayoni Shu. Why does Rajas Ahankara merge into the mind, an effect of the Ankara and Sattva? Ahankara in Rajas is made of both knowledge and action and takes the form of the knowledge senses and action senses. The mind, however, is the controller, Ishware, of the knowledge and action senses. Okay, does that make sense? While then Prajumna is sometimes called the mind?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because you have knowledge, and you have the senses, and you have that action. So that's controlled by the mind, and that way he's the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the ultimate thing of what you're doing, your goal, that's your false ego. Then all action is coming because of the mind. You're using intelligence, senses, and all that. Does that make sense to your knowledge? And then you have the ingredient, then the jiva, because without them, then how what's the basis anyway of discussing the material creation? Because if it's not about how the living entity got here and how they can get out, then why bring it up? Right? So then he's jiva. He's the source of that. Therefore, they can get covered by all this. Right? So because of the nature of jiva, the tatastha position coming from Sankarshan, then in Prajumna, then the mind, then covered by, you know, in that form of ahankara, then they have their whole process of their identity, their engagements, and their results of action. Yes? So then in that way you can see it from that practical point. Yeah. Yes. You had something or?
Lord Ram appeared from his mother eating the grain straight from from the offering. Now here it says,
means Lord Ramachandra appeared from. Means Dasarath did a sacrifice. From that sacrifice, then Agni gave them the sweet rice, and then by eating that, then. And that's just in the context that since that we more direct understanding, we come from food. Is that what you're bringing out, or? It's fine. It's just that's another context. Then that's food, because then you have mantra, you have all those other things as ingredients of action, right? Because you have time, place, circumstance, you have the person, you have the mantra, and then the endeavor, right? So then within that context, then it's there. This is another means that everything comes from food, right? It means, why do babies grow? They just enjoy the air. No, it's just the food, right? So that's the whole. Does that mean the four Kumaras don't get enough food? They're so austere. But then they'd still be 5 years old. They just get bigger 5-year-olds. Right? I guess when you go to Brahmaloka, then they get really big. And then when you come down here, then they're smaller. So it's nothing to do with how much they eat.
Maybe when they come here, they don't eat.
Yeah, maybe it's nothing to eat. What are you going to eat?
Right? Even geese.
Yeah. Okay, no, we didn't get there. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabeta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaurapinganandi.